I invite you to pray with me. Beloved, you became known to us in the mystery of the Word made flesh, dwelling among us. You taught us in your way. You made friends. People persecuted you. You lost loved ones. And yet, you still loved us beyond all measure. Let your love live in our hearts today, this day, and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy fourth day of Christmas. This and last week, we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. Today in church, later on, we'll have prayers for healing as we head into the new year. Some of us have just returned, or some of us may still be visiting with our family. Some do not go home this year. I come to our readings with this context in mind. Specifically, I think of my own context working with students who may be traveling home for the holidays and having to manage the dynamics of going home and whatever that might look like for them or might not look like for them. I read these verses that we have in John. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. And I think of the experience of students whose worldview may have been totally changed by their classes, their relationships with their peers or professors. When some of them return to their hometown or the place their family resides now, or just go somewhere different, or not, they have a break in the quarter, things might seem different. Many people have been away from what once was their home for some time now, or at least a quarter. Perhaps these students have created new friends, new communities, new shared values and norms that are different from the ones with which they might be returning to or thinking of. Perhaps Stanford wasn't a good fit at all for them, and their family or the place that they might return to feels most like home. Or perhaps they aren't returning home at all. Perhaps they experience low income, or they're an international student or a first-generation student, and they're not returning home, while some of their friends may be. The concepts of kinship and family are very present in our readings. We hear of this spirit of adoption in our reading in Galatians. And we should be careful about interpreting this passage because it can be easy to think of Christian supersessionism. Jewish scholar Amy Gillivine points out that Jesus himself was Jewish. He was steeped in these laws, the law that Galatians talks about. He knew them, he followed the law. And by knowing the laws that Jesus did, we might be invited into Jesus' way of life, or into Jesus' play on the interpretation that went against the interpretations of law that Roman Empire might have declared. Galatians makes this interesting claim that when we follow Jesus, we take on a spirit of adoption. We become part of a family. And I wonder, what does family, community, or kinship feel like for you? Whether chosen, adopted, or otherwise. This Jesus person that John is testifying about was fundamentally an outsider, even to what he might consider his family or his hometown. He was born to an unmarried woman. He taught against empire. He traveled to heal the sick, and he invited people to come join a new thing with him. Jesus left his home. He forged new family, new community, new values, new life with people who sought his healing and truth. He wanted to draw all of us into a community, but he and his followers were often rejected. And I think of folks who might be going home to spend time with families who don't understand them. Perhaps they aren't comfortable with their kids being queer, for example. Perhaps these students long for some closeness to their parents, but they have to set aside parts of themselves or not talk about a huge part of their life while they're around their family for the holidays. Human love is imperfect sometimes. And sometimes we are called to dwell in the paradox of it. We might strive for relationship across lines of difference. We might be called to make relationships with people who don't understand or accept who we are. And it's our choice in how we want to delve into these relationships and engage in boundary setting within them. Sometimes we do need these kinds of relationships in our lives. And also, perhaps there are different relationships where we can be fully loved, seen, and known. One where we can clearly state our needs and our deepest desires. One where compromise is possible. Relationships where we can be fully known, loved, accepted. I wonder if and how God is calling us into this healing kind of love. To live in a community where no one has to fraction off parts of themselves, and where all are drawn into the power of deep, abiding, knowing love. Where no one is in physical, mental, or spiritual cages of isolation. Where the bonds of hatred and sin and evil can be broken. Where love can nurture and grow in us. It can be isolating at first to live fully into who we are, claim our own values and espouse them, and seek out soul-seeing relationships in that, especially if we feel like there aren't many people who share those values. Perhaps we have political views that don't align with our neighbors. Perhaps we experience an illness or grief or circumstance in life that is challenging to explain. But we have God, Emmanuel, who came into human experience. God knows pain. God knows the deep hunger we experience for relationship. Jesus knows isolation. God dwelled with us in the midst of all of it, lost friends to empire. And yet, John and Jesus invite us into a family, a new way of life, together. And you are here together in this church family. God is with us in this work. So let us do a new thing together. Let us live into the healing power of love. I invite us in the ways we can to make way for courageous relationships that are healing and life-giving. This way, we can let love be known in our hearts and all around us. Amen.